Good morning, Hope Church.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. If you would, calm your hearts and calm your minds and just pray with me. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your kindness. We ask that you would just be with us today as we joyfully praise your name. And help us today to be strengthened into this week, to be restored into this week, and fill our hearts with grace and love, just as you've filled the world with grace and love. We ask that you will open our hearts and allow us to love you and love others and praise you today and joyfully to do that. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
When Jesus was,
when Jesus was,
when Jesus.
this time we'll prepare our minds and our hearts for our communion. And we're going to ask John Hesbeth if he'll come forth and take us before the throne of grace.
Pray with me, please. Father God, we want to thank you so much for giving us this beautiful day. Another opportunity to come to your house to worship and to thank you and to praise you. We owe so much to you. In this season of thankfulness, Father, let us never forget every day that we should be thankful for all that you have done for us. Father, we ask that you take the bread that we are about to receive and let it remind us of the body that was beaten for us. The juice that represents the blood, Jesus' blood, that cleanses us from all of our sins, Father, make us so grateful. We thank you for all that we have. Father, just go with us and be with us this day and be with us when we leave here. Thank you for the words that we will receive, for we know that they will be a blessing from you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. done for me. He gave me the victory. I love him. I love him. I really love the Lord. I really love the Lord. I really love the Lord. You don't know what he's done for me. Gave me the victory. I love him. I love him. I really love the Lord. I know how sweet he is. He is a Lord. the world of freedom. I found a friend in Jesus. I am a child of love. I'm gonna climb a mountain. I'm gonna shout about it. I am a child of love. I found the world of freedom. I found a friend in Jesus. I am a child of love. I'm gonna climb a mountain. I'm gonna shout about it. I am a child of love.
Yeah.
I found the world of freedom. I found a friend in Jesus. I am a child of love.
Again, we say good morning and glad to see everybody out this morning. Do we have any first-time visitors with us today? No first-time visitors? Well, welcome home, everyone.
So just a couple announcements, reminders from youth ministry. Next week, we will have our parent gift program, so please invite your friends. That will go on after meet and greet. We'll go over and do that. We are also Christmas song practicing right now, so we'll Christmas song practice today and next week and the 12th, along with some Christmas crafts and some stories on the 12th. And then on the 19th at the end of service, the children will do a few Christmas songs for you guys. If you are wondering, this morning there was a lot of excitement over on youth ministry side during Sunday school because Santa was here. And so we got some great pictures. And I just wanted to kind of show you what the scene looked like over there. So we had Santa, and we were getting pictures with Santa, and then we had some sweet breakfast treats this morning from the kiddos. So if you're wondering why the children couldn't sit still this morning, it had nothing to do with the donuts and cinnamon rolls right before church. So just anyways, watch the Hope Church Youth Ministry Facebook page. If you need to sign up for text alerts and don't know how to do that, let me know. We want to make sure we get as many kiddos here as we can.
Any other announcements? If not, we'll have our meet and greet, and then we'll have an introduction of our speaker for the day. Meet and greets.
Good morning, Hope Church. I guess you have figured out by now that Angie and I aren't there. We've been feeling kind of yucky over the last several days. Spent the last couple days really in the bed for the most part. COVID tests are negative, and so probably just a little light bit of the flu. And so we didn't want to run the risk of getting anybody else sick. Plus, I probably would have coughed my head off through the entire sermon as if it probably wasn't going to be bad enough. And I wanted to spare you from that. A couple of weeks ago, my good buddy Michael Roby sent me a text just kind of out of the blue and said, "Hey, Devin, just want you to know I've been thinking about you, thinking about Hope Church, praying for you guys. Hope everything is good. If there's anything I can do for you, please don't hesitate to let me know." And I thought, that's who we're going to get. And so I'm excited that Michael Roby is here with us today. Michael has been a friend of Hope Church for quite some time. He's visited several times. I know he's spoken at least once. And he does this stuff for a living, full time. He's a business strategist. He's a motivational speaker, consultant. He's in the business of trying to help folks' lives to be better in a lot of different areas. And so we're really fortunate that his schedule allowed him to be here today. And I know that you will be blessed by having been there today to hear Michael Roby. So if you would, let's give my buddy Michael a big Hope Church welcome. Here is Michael Roby.
Well, the biggest thing I've got going for me today, I think I won't cough. I'll try not to anyways. But it's good to be back with you all again. We have been here, I don't know, three times, something like that. And you all have been very warm to us, very kind to us, and we're grateful for that. We live in Franklin. We're originally from Kentucky. But when we come here, we do feel like home. We're grateful for that. You know, it's been Thanksgiving week, and we've been busy. For one thing, we've kind of had to learn how to do Thanksgiving again. I mean, a lot of people didn't do it last year. And so we get in the habit of telling each other happy Thanksgiving, but something I learned a number of years ago, it's not always happy. And it's been a hard couple of years. I learned years ago that when you said happy Father's Day, people didn't always have a happy Father's Day for a number of reasons, or happy Mother's Day, or happy anything. We can't assume everybody's happy all the time. Life is hard. Life can be very, very hard. And we've experienced that the last couple of years. We've had a situation like nobody that's alive on this planet has ever really, or at least in this country, has ever really witnessed. We've had a pandemic. We've had tremendous unrest, civil unrest. So many things have been challenging us on so many levels. We've had trouble in the streets. And all of this has been exacerbated by the news. And in case you didn't see it Friday, the news kind of got on their latest horse about this new variant of COVID, and they don't know exactly what it's going to be doing just yet, and so forth and so on. And we don't know. Nobody pretends to know that stuff. But it's not always happy. And I think that's created a tremendous strain upon all of us. The business that I'm in, the industry that I serve, went through a lot of stress in 2006 and 2007 and 8 as a result of the mortgage meltdown. And a financial planning magazine did a study in 2008 of financial advisors. And they were checking them for their psychological health. And what they found was that 93% of financial advisors coming out of the Great Recession were showing some signs, some symptoms of PTSD. And I'm going to suggest today, when you take a look at the general population, that number is even higher. It's been hard. COVID is something that affected everybody. Everybody knows somebody. And Jim, I know Jim had to leave this morning. His uncle, he's going to his uncle's funeral today. He had to leave early to go be at the service. And I said, was your uncle older? He said he was 68. Well, years ago, I thought that was older. That's not older to me anymore because I'm almost 68. You know, this has created a tremendous strain and stress on everybody, and it's created a situation in our minds that are troubling, and it's created tremendous stress on us. And the fact that we couldn't even come here to worship in a lot of places, you just couldn't even go. And church became watching something on your phone, which if you have no other options, is a better option than we used to have. My mother-in-law is in her late 80s now, and we called her this morning on the way over from Franklin, and she's trying to tune in on her radio. She's got an old radio just so she can listen to her church service because she's homebound now. And our first thought was, it's time to get her a new radio. So that's going to be on her Christmas list this year. But it's a good option. But people are meant to be with other people. You all are meant to be together. The term church family is not an accidental term. We do become family. And it's been hard. It's been very hard. And so when we take a look at where we are today, and incidentally, this has created a tremendous amount of fear in people as well. And there's one thing I'm going to suggest to you, something that can help you there. Turn off the news. Just don't even watch it. Because most of the time it's meant to generate some sort of fear. And the fact of the matter is we need to know what's going on. The way I look at it, that's why I have an app on my phone. I can look at the headlines really quick and figure out what I need to know. But we're fearful. We're stressed. We've been strained. And in some cases, Thanksgiving wasn't happy because of this spectacle of COVID. It's hard to be grateful. You know, and a friend of ours, a guy that Melanie used to babysit when he was little, he was a preacher's kid. Of course, he's in his mid-50s now. We are getting older. But he posted this list that was written by a young mother. And you young mothers, and I've seen a bunch of young mothers here, and you can probably relate to this. These are some of the things on this young mother's list. Early wake-ups, a house to clean, laundry to do, dishes to wash, crumbs under the table, grocery shopping, toilets to clean, lots of noise, endless questions about homework, sore and tired in bed. Life's hard, folks. And that's why we come here, because this isn't the end. There's heaven on earth. We learned that in the story of the prodigal. We learn that in the story of the prodigal son. And we have a reward that is coming. But life here is sometimes hard. These are all challenges. And so when we take a look at what do we do about these challenges, we're the church of Jesus Christ. We're not called to be here, to sit here and moan and complain and do nothing. We're called to go serve, to serve others. And to do it with joy in our hearts. So how do we do that? And I'm going to suggest three things for you today. Number one, and we're going to spend some time in the Word. But number one, take captive every thought. We've got to claim back our brains. We've got to get our minds back. And really look at reality for what it is. And it's not all bad. In spite of some of the horrible challenges that people are facing, it's not all bad. And so taking captive our thoughts, and I'm going to suggest something else that some people may not necessarily agree with, and that's okay. I've been taught that if I go to worship and hear a message, if there's not at least one thing that doesn't irritate me a little bit, it probably wasn't a good message. So I may irritate a few people. I have that nature. But the second thing is to refuse to be angry. We have no call to be angry. We'll talk about that. And the last thing is to be grateful. To be grateful in all things. So let's talk about these three things very specifically. When we talk about taking captive every thought, what do the scriptures tell us about this? And in 2 Corinthians in chapter 10, and I use the New Century version of the scriptures. I use a lot of different versions for my reading or for my study. The reason I like the New Century Version, is it was written for people that don't do church language. You know what I'm talking about with church language? There's no these and thous. It's written for people who are alcoholics and addicts and in prison. It's written for children. And since sometimes I'm operating, most of the time I'm operating about an eighth grade level, it works really well for me. So this is 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Some of it is, and it's taken from New Century. We fight with weapons that are different than the world uses. Our weapons have power from God that can destroy the enemy's strong places. We destroy people's arguments and every proud thing that raises itself against the knowledge of God. Let me make a note here. We don't destroy other people. You can argue and lose the argument. But we argue the points. We argue the things that are against God. We capture every thought and make it give up and obey Christ. We are ready to punish anyone there who does not obey. And that's a difficult scripture. By the way, sometimes if you'd like to have a conversation, we can talk about difficult scriptures. There are a lot of them. But we want you to obey fully. The fact of the matter is, we're in a spiritual war. We're in a spiritual war. The moment you accept Christ, Satan says, the only way I can torment God is to torment you. God doesn't tempt us. God doesn't torment us. Understand who the enemy is. The enemy is, it's not your brothers and sisters. It's not people. It's not the world. It's Satan. Satan rages against us, but Jesus protects us, and he gives us the hope. You know, one reason, one thing that was interesting to me about when we first came here was I love the name that you've put upon this body, Hope Church. We have hope. We have hope. But taking captive every thought, we have to control our thoughts because so many people and so many institutions are trying to pour junk into our heads. We've got to take captive our own minds again so that we can understand what God really has for us, the blessings that he has for us, the love that he shows for us. By the Holy Spirit, we can get the grace that we need and the power that we need to harness our thoughts. And in this process, we become transformed. We become changed. You know, one thing that Devin mentioned to me in the text message that he sent me, he said, just speak about whatever's on your heart. And that can be a dangerous thing at some level. But when people speak about what's on their heart, and people that are given the responsibility of speaking from this place, not only are we speaking to you, we're speaking to ourselves as well. This is not just other people. I'm talking to myself as well. We become transformed. We have a wonderful hope that by overcoming sin in our own lives, we become a little bit more like Christ. And when things get anxious, when things get busy, when things become troubling, close your eyes and be still and be quiet and ask him to fill you back up. And he will. Allowing the inner work of God to play a role in your heart and to take a place in you. That's the greatest task that we have in life. You know, we think about all the big tasks and all the big challenges that we have and the struggles that we have and the things that we need to do. The most important thing for you to do is to be still and be quiet and invite him into your heart, and he will still that storm. He will still that storm. There's a quote that, and I can't remember, the book is called Taking Every Thought Captive by a guy named Mark Lasner. Says, today I know that whatever I start to fantasize about or when unwanted thoughts come into my brain, my first question is going to be, what are these thoughts trying to tell me? So when we're struggling with what the world's pouring into our head and what Satan's pouring into our head, be still and say, what can we learn from this? What can we learn from this? I don't tell these thoughts to go away. I ask them to stay, and I interview them. And I ask, am I particularly tired or lonely? Am I stressed or overworked? Am I feeling disconnected with my wife and my family, my friends? Then what do I need? How can I love myself? Because we are loved by Him. And He wants us to love ourselves. When I take time to do this, I can honestly say I'm free of the unwanted thoughts and fantasies that I am much more able to love others. And I think in loving others, we show Him love as well. You know, when the second thing I'd like to discuss is refuse to be angry. Now, I got to tell you, a lot of the Christian church stays angry most of the time at a lot of different things. In fact, I think it's some Christians almost take it as a badge of honor to be angry all the time. That's not what we're called to do. And people will say, well, Jesus got angry. Well, guess what? Jesus is God. He's got every right to be angry. What right do I have to be angry? You know, there's a book called Unoffendable by a guy named Brant Hansen. I got to hear him speak maybe a year ago. He wrote this book, and it's a very, very good book. It's called Unoffendable. And he says, choosing to be unoffendable or relinquishing my right to anger does not mean accepting injustice. It means actively seeking justice and loving mercy while walking humbly with God. Micah 6:8. That's where that comes from. And that means remembering that I'm not Him. What a relief. You don't have to be God. You don't have to be God. And once again, in many cases, we've been taught to be angry. It's called righteous indignation. Has anybody ever heard that term? Got to have some righteous anger. And I've seen books and some pretty famous Christian speakers say, nothing ever really good happens in the Christian church unless we're angry. I don't believe that. I don't believe the Scripture teaches that. You know, at the end of the day, we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit. We're talking about the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us. And you know, when we take a look at that list of fruits and list of gifts, righteous indignation or righteous anger is not listed there. Why isn't righteous anger even listed among the things the Spirit-filled life gives us? Because it's not really righteous anger. It's self-righteous anger. We're angry because we've been offended. And who am I to be offended? You know, if we were to sit down and just take a look, not at all 613 laws in the Old Testament, but if we were to sit down and take a look at all the law, just the Ten Commandments, and we were to check off everyone that we've committed, there's some of us in this room that would check off all 10. Because if you even thought about it, you did it. It's still a sin. It's still a sin. If it's righteous, like joy and love and peace and gentleness, why wouldn't righteous anger be listed in there? What right do I have to be angry? Think about the parable of the wicked servant. I think all of us remember that's in Matthew 18. There's a servant who has a debt to the king, and the king forgives the debt. And it's a big debt. And this wicked servant says, thank you for forgiving my debt. Then the wicked servant goes out, and he's got somebody who owes him a small debt, and he threatens to have him punished or killed or thrown in prison. I've been forgiven. All of us have been forgiven if we accept Jesus. If we accept Christ, we have been forgiven. Who am I then to go to exact judgment and retribution and punishment of another? How am I supposed to feel anger when I'm not called a judge? So by taking captive of our thoughts and then refusing to be angry, I think it puts us in a good posture to be able to overcome some of these challenges in the world today. In the book of James, chapter 1, 19 through 22, it says, my dear brothers and sisters, Always be willing to listen and slow to speak. Boy, is that an issue I've had over the years. Man, can't even imagine. Do not become angry easily, because anger will not help you live the right kind of life that God wants. Refuse to be angry. So put out of your life every evil thing and every kind of wrong, then in gentleness accept God's teaching that is planted in your hearts, which can save you. Do what God's teaching says. When you only listen and do nothing, you're fooling yourselves. We are to hate injustice, but we can't be angry at other sinners about it. We've got to do what's right. We've got to do that out of love. The last thing that I think is important here, besides taking captive our thoughts and then refusing to be angry, is to be grateful. Just to be purely grateful. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says, and give thanks whatever happens. That is what God wants for you in Christ Jesus. All of us have challenges. Life is hard. And the older you get, the harder it gets. Right, Miss Dolly? I see you nodding your head. The older we get, the more challenging, the more we have to worry about. You know, when you're a young mom or dad, you're trying to take care of your kids. You're too busy to worry about the future. You're just trying to change a diaper or get somebody to Little League. I mean, but as you get older, and as the house becomes still, instead of taking care of kids all the time, you're going to their games or reading to them when they come to visit. We start to worry more. And as you look in Ecclesiastes, it talks about we become afraid of trouble in the streets. We become afraid of falling. And I'm old enough, I get afraid of those things. And sometimes it clouds my mind, and I don't realize and I don't remember how blessed I truly am. All of us would do well in this season of Thanksgiving. In spite of the troubles, in the past month, I've been to funerals of two very close friends that died very young, neither of COVID, by the way. One was a 61-year-old woman, the picture of health, took great care of herself and spread love everywhere she went. And she told her husband she was having a headache. And then he looked over and she was standing in the doorway. She said, call 911, and she collapsed. The last three words that she said to him was, I love you. And she was gone. My friend Pat Dodds in Ohio, age 69, his wife went for a walk, came back. He was gone. These are two families that are going through hard Thanksgivings. But what's amazing to me about Pat's wife in particular is she's been posting on social media how grateful she is for her 8 children and her 19 grandchildren and the wonderful years that she and Pat had together. She's grateful. We would do well to be aware of the things for which we're to be grateful. That gratitude's important. Psalm 118:24, this is the day that the Lord has made, and this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Count your blessings. Spend time with your blessings. Corinthians 3:15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body. This is Hope Church. This is family. If you haven't told somebody you love them here recently, tell them. If somebody needs help, encourage them. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, and give thanks whatever happens. That is what God wants for you in Christ Jesus. We are so blessed. We have hope for the future. We have heaven on earth. Like I said, the story of the prodigal son teaches us that. But we have eternal hope. And so, as we leave this place, do your best to control your thoughts. Take your mind back. Don't let other people have your mind. Don't let the news have your mind. Don't let your neighbors have your mind. Don't let Satan have your mind. Refuse to be angry. Show other people love. Show other people the grace that Jesus shows us and has shown you. And last but not least, be grateful. Be grateful in all these things. This thing that I read that the preacher's kid posted from the young mother, said early wake-ups, house to clean, laundry, and so forth. I didn't read the whole thing to you because she says these are things she's grateful for. Early wake-ups equal children to love. A house to clean, a safe place to live. Laundry, clothes to wear. Dishes to wash, because they have food to eat. Crumbs under the table, because they have family meals. Anybody have any crumbs under their table the last few days? Grocery shopping, because they have the money to provide those groceries. Toilets to clean, and some of us here actually remember things such as this, but toilets clean mean you have indoor plumbing. It's a good thing, for those of you that don't know that. Lots of noise equals people in your life. Endless questions about homework. Kids' brains are growing, and they're learning how to grow up, especially this one. I've got a grandson that, what's his name? Malachi. How you doing, buddy? It's funny how they get calm when strangers talk to them. Endless questions about homework. Kids' brains are growing. You too, Malachi. The last one was sore, tired in bed. I'm still alive. And if you're still alive, you have work to do yet. I know you miss it when Devin's not here. There's a lot of things I can't tell you, but I can tell you this. He loves this church, and he loves you. And he may have some gratitude about the fact that I was able to come this morning so he didn't have to, but he'd much rather I be in Franklin than he be here, because he loves you and I know you love him. Love one another. Take control of your minds. Take control of your minds. Don't be angry. And show gratitude for all the many blessings we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We've been asked to remember Tom Meter, who is having knee replacement surgery this Thursday at Murray Regional Hospital. Are there any other announcements that need to be made before we close? Okay, if you'll stand, I'll dismiss us in prayer. Our blessed and heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity you've given us to worship you, to hear a message from your word, Lord, and to praise you in song. We just ask that we carry on this worship as we leave here throughout this week, as we encounter others, that you'll allow us to show you living in us. We ask that you keep us safe and healthy, if it be your will, Lord, and we ask that you bless those who are sick or hurting at this time. We ask that you give Devin and Angie a quick recovery, and any others that are feeling ill as well. And we ask that you be with Tom this week through his knee replacement. We ask that you just continue to uplift us and let us encourage those that need our encouragement. We're so blessed to have you in our lives and to have that hope of eternal life through your son's sacrifice. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.